VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, last Thursday on this program, I made you aware of a Drag Queen Story Hour taking place in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, with one known as Annie Christ. Is that a play on words for Antichrist? We'll let you be the determiner there. But I'd like to just quote for you from this came from the Morning Call E! Newspaper. Waiting patiently on the blue-carpeted floor, dozens of eyes stared up at the tall woman seated in front of them. Now, this is the news take on what took place. With her long eyelashes, lips painted a deep shade of blue, and bigger-than-life wig of purple hair, Miss Annie had the full attention of her young audience. She brought with her a book to read and a message about acceptance and diversity. As a drag queen, better known by her stage name, Annie Christ, she spoke from personal experience. Going on, the article says the event drew attention over recent days from both supporters and protesters alike as word spread of a drag queen story time. Organizers on both sides rallied, sharing news of the event through social media. Lindsay Hagel of Lansdale brought her 2-year-old daughter Willa to hear Annie's message. La first learned of the event from her mom, who also was in attendance, and decided it would be an important learning opportunity. Quote, "It's a great experience to have kids show up and see something that maybe they haven't seen before, and obviously hear the stories, and hopefully it becomes the norm for them," she said as she stood in line of over 100 people as Annie read Naked Mole Rat Gets Dressed. Outside the library, Lucinda Reichley of North Wales, identifying as a lesbian, said she felt it was important for children to see that they can be themselves, adding, "I didn't have that as a kid." Further, the article says, "To maintain peace," folks, this is amazing, "to maintain peace, 16 Lansdale police officers, including 4 in plain clothes, were posted both outside and inside the library, along with members of the Montgomery County Major Incident Response Team." A major incident response team. Another source at WTXF reported that Lansdale had 16 police officers plus 10 officers from Montgomery County to monitor the event to be sure there was a peaceful atmosphere, 26 law enforcement personnel to see that a drag queen story hour would continue in the library. The police chief, Michael Trail, said it's all in the planning. "This is a children's event. We wanted to make sure the library was able to have its event and the children were safe." Lansdale Mayor Gary Herbert deemed the event a success, saying it was the most children he had seen in the library in a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past couple years, there has been this growing epidemic happening in municipalities, in some cases whole states, that have been placing a ban on what's called reparative therapy or conversion therapy toward youth under the age of 18. We've seen the pop-up of these drag queen story hours taking place. And what's ironic is that the leadership of such municipalities often call themselves pro-choice when it comes to matters like abortion, but on this issue are literally taking choices away from individuals who are confused by their gender and wanting help. And yet these municipalities have no concern as to how young people are being harmed by their anti-choice legislation. Well, joining us on this topic today, we welcome Karen Mueller. She's a Christian attorney in Wisconsin. She's a wife, mother, and grandmother, actively involved politically, legislatively, and legally. Her main practice areas involves the sanctity of life issues, religious freedom, freedom of speech, right of conscience, and other civil and constitutional rights as they extend into the workplace or the world in general. She sits on the Wisconsin State Bar Civil Rights section of the Executive Board, has formerly run for Congress. She's a commentator, writer, and speaker. Karen, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Before we get more into this area of reparative therapy or conversion therapy, what does this do to you to see this large enclave of police officers at a library to ensure that kids are exposed to a drag queen?
Well, I think that city has a major problem on its hand. And I think its priorities are misplaced. And I think that's due to a lack of education on what is going on here. We're seeing the drag queen stories pop up all over the nation. First of all, I think it's really surprising that parents are bringing their children, because the goal of normalization is exactly what's going on, but that's a form of indoctrination, and that is what is happening with these children. They are seeing that this is being normalized, and because of that, they start to identify with not only the behavior, but the look. There's a very important case that has recently come out of Great Britain, and there was a whistleblower teacher that had started talking about her school because they had 17 children that were gender transitioning all at the same time. Now, she was a whistleblower because the bans are already pretty much in place in Great Britain because they don't have a First Amendment. And the problem with the bans on conversion therapy in this country is they are blatantly unconstitutional. They are chilling free speech across the country, at both the state level and also at the municipal and county level, and they need to be challenged.
Karen, we're going to be getting into more of those aspects here on this, Karen, and alert people to some of the dangers and the harms. But you mentioned the 17 students in various stages of transitioning in this one school, and to me that's just amazing because it wasn't too many years ago that there was a study that showed 0.3% identified as being transgender. Sounds like could this be turning into a fad among young people?
Well, I would say it's beyond a fad. As I said, it's a form of indoctrination that is taking place. You've got the drag queens in libraries across the country doing story hour for the youngest children, but we are also starting to see school systems that are adopting sex education K through 12. And they are emphasizing transgenderism. They are emphasizing homosexuality. This is not the place for children as young as 5 years old to be learning about these behaviors. And because this is going on, we now have school districts that are complicit in this. And as these bans are adopted more and more, we are going to have more and more people silent. And not even able to counsel a child on what is going on.
Yeah.
Gender dysphoria is real. These children are confused. But the answer is not gender-affirming behavior, which is now being pushed not only by the activists, but in parts of our federal government.
Let's just to lay the groundwork, let's define reparative therapy or conversion therapy as it's often called. What is it? Because we're seeing communities that are banning this. What is it?
Well, for instance, we have three different bans across the state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee adopted it first, and then Madison. And Eau Claire, Wisconsin, in western Wisconsin, adopted it last fall. And so probably the best thing would be to go to how they define it. And under the definitions in the ordinance from Eau Claire, they would say that it means any practice or treatment offered or rendered to consumers for a fee, including psychological counseling that seeks to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, including efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions. But the interesting thing about that is that it definitely includes, or it excludes, I should say, any person.
Excuse me, Karen. Karen, excuse me. We're losing you here. If I could have you speak directly in the mouthpiece of the phone so we can get every word, because what you have to say is so critical on this issue here.
Okay, I'm sorry. What I was saying is that what these bans specifically or exclude is that if a person wants to affirm that the child should change their genders, that is perfectly legal. But if you want to try to stop a child or tell the child from a biblical perspective that God created one man and one woman and that there's only two sexes, or you could speak from a biological perspective and say the same thing. You are going to be subject to a $500 fine or up to a $1,000 fine in the city of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for doing that, as long as you are a counselor that charges a fee.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it true that the vast majority of children who are gender confused actually align their thinking to their actual biological gender, that for many it's just kind of a time or a phase that they go through?
Well, the studies are showing that if you leave a child alone, and by that I mean you don't encourage them to change genders, that 80 to 90% of them will reconcile to their natal gender. But when I mean leave them alone, I don't mean leave them without counseling. These are children that are confused. They need compassion. They need love. They need support.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't need is adults encouraging them to take harmful hormones where we don't even know what the full long-term effects are going to be of these hormones.
As a matter of fact, there are many parents who are just rushing, it seems, or the medical profession seems to be rushing to place children either on these hormones or at very young ages put them on puberty blockers. Why the rush?
I'm not sure what the rush is. I think it's very alarming. I can tell you that as I did research on this, I wrote an article about it, quite a long commentary on the topic. And as I dug into it more, I was very disturbed to find out that the federal government is playing a very big role in this. It would be the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which comes under the Health and Human Services Department. And in, back in 2015, they published a pamphlet. It's actually quite thick, and it's called Ending Conversion Therapy and Supporting and Affirming LGBT Youth. Well, what that means in reality is that our own federal government in this particular department is calling for the speech of Christian or conservative counselors and pastors to be silenced. This is a First Amendment violation, and there is already one lawsuit that has been filed out in Maryland. This is Liberty Council that has decided to sue the Maryland governor over this, and I'm pretty confident there's going to be more lawsuits against both cities and states. The federal government should not be trying to silence its own citizens. Certainly not, well, it shouldn't be trying to silence anybody. But when we're talking the First Amendment, we're talking about religious freedom, and we are also talking about just the right to speak and think and have your own belief system. It's called the right of conscience. And in addition to that,
I tell you what, we got to take a break here. Karen Mueller is our guest here today. We're talking about reparative therapy or conversion therapy, the ban that's being instituted. Folks, you're listening to Crosstalk. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can one believe in God and evolution at the same time?
Chris, many people do believe in God and in evolution by natural selection, but I don't think they should. The very reason evolution exists is to try to explain the fact that we're here without a God. It's a totally natural theory as opposed to supernatural. Recently, I heard from a Christian in Russia. He acknowledges that evolution was used as a tool by the communist government for all those years to discredit Christianity and the Bible. Today, there are many Christians in Russia, but it would be very rare to find a Christian who believes in evolution. Those who have gone through the communist ordeal have recognized that evolution and Christianity are incompatible. I wish American Christians would see that back to Genesis truth so clearly.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Karen Mueller is our guest today, a Christian attorney based here in the state of Wisconsin, and very concerned. Matter of fact, she has written some in-depth research articles on this matter of conversion therapy. A little bit later, we'll tell you how you can read these and have access to them online to learn more about these things. But we are seeing, whether it be the drag queen story hours or coming down through the educational systems and schools across the nation, or community after community that is passing legislation to ban conversion therapy, an agenda that seems to all be coming together to silence the Christian voice, to silence what God has said in His Word, in that He has made male and female. And no matter what you do as far as surgery is concerned, or no matter how many hormones you take, biologically you are still male or female. There's nothing you can do to change that. Karen, there are many, as I've mentioned, that are rushing to these puberty blockers or hormone treatments. You have researched this. How do these blockers impact children? How are these hormones impacting them? Can young children actually be harmed by these blockers and through the aspects of treatment in this regard?
It's quite possible. In fact, it's quite likely. The more that is being found out about the hormones with other people who are using them. I need to clarify regarding these puberty-suppressing hormones that they are off-label. And what that means is that this is not approved by the FDA for this purpose. Normally, the puberty-suppressing hormones could be used for what is called precocious puberty, which would be for a much shorter period of time. But what we are seeing is that children as young as 8 years old are being put on these puberty-suppressing hormones, and then they're expected to remain on those. And then at 16 years old, they begin the opposition hormones, which is what would, for a boy, that would be given the large doses of estrogen, and for a girl, of course, testosterone, with the idea that it, as early as 18, they could have surgery. But back to the off-label and what that means is it pushes it into the category of experimental. And the reason is that when something's off-label, it hasn't been approved by the FDA because they haven't done the long-term research on it. And so that's where we're at with these drugs. But they very much, or the hormones, I should say, they very much are concerned regarding bone density problems, and also brain development, because this is the age from, say, 10 to 12, where both bone and brain development are going through many, many changes, and they go through that at a time when the hormones begin to change. And so this is all being suppressed in these young children. And so there hasn't been many studies on that, but they suspect that there are going to be problems. I can tell you that one of the drugs that is, or hormones that is being used, is called Lupron. And what they are finding there is that women who have been given that for endometriosis are also having problems with joint pain and osteoporosis and a number of other problems. Then in addition to that, most likely and probably the most worrisome, or should be for people, is that these children are going to be sterilized through this process because their reproductive organs are not going to be developing. So the point in favor of them, the way that they argue that is that they can always stop them. Well, at this stage, we don't know what that has already done to their reproductive organs. Another thing I would really like to emphasize here is the legal issues, and that is that the question of can a child give informed consent when we're talking about permanent life-altering procedures. And my answer is a resounding no. They do not have the capacity to make these changes. they can't understand or really appreciate what that means to decide at 8 or 10 years old that you're going to go on hormone therapy and never be able to have children. At that age, they might agree that that's a wonderful thing to never have children, but they don't have mature minds. And so that is a huge issue here. The second part of that is, well, if they can't consent, can the parents consent? And I believe the answer is no, because we are talking about life-altering, body-altering procedures that are taking place. But this has not been addressed by either the medical community or the legal community to this date.
You know,
people are avoiding that.
Yeah, and that really brings up an interesting perspective because, I mean, if children who are gender confused become, you know, subject to parental authority or to their, their doctors who are saying, well, you need to go on these blockers or to receive these hormones, and they're denied what they call conversion therapy, and are given these blockers, will they have legal recourse down the road? I mean, when they are adults and when they see the damage that's happened to their bodies or things that have happened to them, or if they've gone through the surgical procedures, will they have legal recourse?
That is one of my suggestions, and I'm sure doctors that are doing this will not be happy to hear this. But frankly, I think this is very much over the top trying to make these children change their gender. One of my proposals would be for state legislators, to allow children, to have a civil action 10 years beyond the age of reaching majority, because it's only in their 20s that they're going to start being able to fully appreciate the gravity of the decision they might have made at 8 or 10 or what somebody else made for them. What we find, or I should say what is being found, is that once the children start the gender or the puberty-suppressing hormones, they are much less likely to go off them once that decision has been made. There are actually changes, again, going back to not only the brain, but there is evidence to show that it can cause depression, that the hormones alone can cause suicidal ideation, which is one of the main reasons that the proponents of banning conversion therapy would say they're doing it to save children.
Hmm.
I would put forth that is nowhere close to being proved that you are saving children by doing that. And I could argue the same on the other side, that there are most likely going to be children that they go further down the road here that are going to also become suicidal because of the hormones that they are being given.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's troubling indeed, and this is why it's so puzzling to me to see groups like the American Academy of Pediatricians, who seem so ready to jump on the bandwagon here. They're supposed to be practicing their oath of do no harm. We see their counterpart, the American College of Pediatricians, has issued warnings regarding this, and they have, as a matter of fact, Dr. Michelle Crutella has likened it to child abuse to get engaged in activities like this. But why, you know, give us your perspective on this, the American Academy of Pediatricians and their involvement and promotion of this when their oath says do no harm.
Some of it's hard to fathom. I have spoken with doctors at a local level and in the state, and the best that I have been told is that the leadership of these organizations has been hijacked by activists.
Oh, my.
Because you can still find many, many in the medical field, in the field of psychology and psychiatry that disagree with this assessment. In the commentary that I had written, I cited this was a review of over 500 studies. And the conclusions that they came up with is that the studies point to nothing that is being settled or safe about these the affirmation process, and that, in fact, they are very concerned. One of the doctors that did this was the former chief psychiatrist of Johns Hopkins Hospital, University Hospital, and he is now being attacked. So anybody that starts speaking out on this is going to be viciously attacked.
Mm-hmm.
One of the concerns that I would say that your audience should be aware of is that as I found my way through this SAMHSA with the Health and Human Service Administration, is that in this manual they went so far as to say that that they might have to start looking at the licensing of professionals. And I take that to mean a very serious threat for doctors, for psychologists, for psychiatrists, and frankly for lawyers too. Anybody who tries to speak out on this can expect that their licenses will be attacked. So that's a very chilling effect too. And all I can say is that the Christian community needs to stand up, mm-hmm. and they need to start speaking out on this topic. There is really, I would say, almost a frenzy in the way that this is washing across this country,
mm-hmm.
and it is going to affect everybody's children and grandchildren. You can't isolate children from this, from what is going on here. It is a social contagion, and they will be subjected to it. The story you started with regarding the drag queen in Pennsylvania is an excellent example of almost a hysteria. And to have all those police officers out there is pretty ridiculous in that they are trying to change the narrative on who should be listened to. Who is the reasonable, rational voice to be listened to?
You know, folks, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, you bring in a conservative onto a college campus and they shout them down, and the officers will escort somebody off the stage and, okay, you know, we protected you, now get out of here. But when it comes to bringing in a drag queen into a library to have this many officers there, to the show must go on, folks. It is amazing to me to see what is going on in our society today. Now, we're just seconds away from a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to have our guest comment on what you can do. How do you get engaged in this matter? What responsibilities do we have? How can you stay abreast? How can you be a watchman on the wall, so to speak, in your own community on these issues? Because, folks, it is spreading across the nation like wildfire here, and these bans on reparative therapy or conversion therapy, and certainly the rights of the Christian community are being trampled on. Does anybody care about that? Let's discuss that after the break, and so folks, be ready to jot down some information, and then we'll be opening up our phone lines for you as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We live in a depraved world with sin and corruption all around us. There are many temptations to lure us away from our walk with the Lord. How do we stay clean, pure, and righteous in such a time? In Psalm 119, we are reminded of the importance of hiding God's Word in our heart to protect us from succumbing to sin. But memorization is difficult for many. This is why Thomas Meyer, known as the Bible Memory Man, has not only devoted many books of the Bible to memory, but he has also put together the King James Memorization Study Bible, where he breaks up every verse in the New Testament by phrases to assist in the scripture memory process. A helpful appendix also provides a list of important scriptures to memorize, from sin to salvation, in 10 verses. The Memory Study Bible New Testament is available for a donation of $20 or more by calling VCY, 1-800-729-9829.
Karen Mueller is with us today here on Crosstalk. She's a Christian attorney here in the state of Wisconsin, very concerned about where this is heading and where we are today on this ban on conversion therapy. And what often happens, it starts in one community in a state, and then it goes to a second and a third, and then the next community says, well, they did it here, we need to do it here as well. We want to be welcoming. We want to be affirming, and on the list goes. And I saw in our own city what happened, even as Christian clergy spoke up in opposition to this, and they said, well, they talked about the high rates of suicide for people. Folks, the thoughts of suicide are not because of that somebody seeking to let them know if you're a male, you're really a male, or if you're a female, you're really a female, but it's being confused about it and going through the drugs and so forth that has, and we've talked to a former transgender on this program who shared those very aspects. But these are things you need to know about. But Karen, it just really begs the question, you know, this seems like such a tidal wave that's hitting us. What can I as an individual do? How do I stand guard? How can I watch this? How can I prevent this from coming into my community? Or is it a lost hope?
Well, I don't think it's a lost hope, but I think Christians in particular need to get engaged. They need to contact their representatives. But before that, they need to get informed. And you don't have to go too deep to the Internet to get informed on this topic, because it is everywhere, whether it's talking about drag queens or gender dysphoria or gender transitioning. It is everywhere. But what I would say is maybe the most distressing thing that I came across was finding out that the ban on conversion therapy is being pushed out of our own federal government. It's being pushed out of Health and Human Services. I would urge you to contact your senators and representatives in your respective states and start, frankly, hounding your U.S. representatives to take a look into what is being proposed here. Because the idea of our federal government banning the speech, the professional speech of pastors or counselors is absolutely outrageous. It is un-American. It is, most importantly, unconstitutional. This is going to be a huge waste of money when the lawsuits start going after the cities and states that have passed this unconstitutional legislation. So that's the first step. It would be a good idea for these to simply be repealed. It would save everybody a lot of money. Secondly, get rid of this organization that is putting this ideology above people's faith. There are people of all faiths that have problems with this. This should not be a elevated class. It should be a class of people that has equal protection under the law like everybody else, not elevated. So that's one thing. At your state level, if your state, and there are 15 of them now that have passed bans on conversion therapy, then you need to call up your state legislators. Actually, you need to call them up, even if it's like in Wisconsin, where it is three cities that have now adopted these. Because, again, these are unconstitutional, and the state legislature can let the cities know that they need to repeal these unconstitutional bans. And because, again, it's going to cost taxpayer dollars. In addition to that, there really needs to be a serious look into what is going on with medical personnel that are giving off-label hormones to young children. And because, again, they cannot give informed consent. And secondly, I have grave concerns as to whether their parents have the ability to give informed consent. You're talking about sterilizing children, and I do not believe, and it's experimental. And once something is experimental in nature, you're going to find it very limiting in the ability to give consent. And that's very important. For instance, I could never take a child or a grandchild to the doctor and say, you know, my child really doesn't like his left hand. I would like you to cut it off. Well, they would call the police. And that would be right that they would call the police, because that's child abuse, because I wouldn't have the right to do that. We're talking about organs in the body being permanently altered through chemicals. Chemical castration is what we're ultimately looking at if these children stay on these medications. And again, they do not have the ability to appreciate this. This seems to be a social contagion. It seems to be indoctrination by various groups. Another thing is that if you've got a school district that is allowing sex ed K through 12, I would say that you have a problem with your local school board. I can't imagine why we need to have kindergartners being learning about transgenderism or homosexuality. This is indoctrination, and that goes back to my example in Great Britain. That's what they found out, is that these children are being indoctrinated simply by being exposed to this. They look at these drag queens, for instance, as rock stars. They are so unique. They're almost caricatures. And young children, lonely children. What they found in Great Britain was as soon as they announced that they were transitioning, they became extremely popular in school.
You know, what's interesting is that I believe it's my perspective that this also leads to the exploitation of children. And you write about one in your article, Desmond the Amazing, this 11-year-old boy dancing in adult drag bars.
Yes.
My.
This is a terrible exploitation. Why haven't the police been called regarding that? And I can tell you why. I can answer my own question, and that is political correctness run amok. Mm. The idea of a 10 or 11-year-old child dancing in front of a group of men for money is despicable. And there is no good reason for it. His parents are allowing it. Evidently, the city, there's got to be licensing. This is a bar. Why is this okay? It's not. And yet, again, political correctness, people are afraid. People want to make sure that they are being understanding. There is a way to be understanding. There's a way to be compassionate. And there is also a way where you are harming children with your silence. And this is the time to speak up regarding these children. They don't have the ability to protect themselves. If I've got a time, I'd just like to mention a case that I ran across as I was doing research, and it's out of Dallas, Texas. And to me, this is just a really sad case. There were these two little twin boys that were born. They're 6 years old, James and Jude, and their parents got divorced at some point. But at 3 years old, James the boy's mother decided that James was actually a girl and renamed him Luna and started dressing him like a girl. And so, of course, they're divorced now, and they're in the Dallas courts. And the Dallas courts are evidently entertaining the motions of the mother. And so the father cannot cut James / Luna's hair or let anybody know who he, she is at school because this little boy was enrolled as a girl. This is a really sad case. When James, Luna, is with his mother, he puts on girls' clothing. When he is with his father, he maintains that he does not want to be a little girl. To me, that seems like this is a child looking for parental approval.
Mm.
I think people really need to think about how much of an influence parents can have by simply remaining neutral and trying to be fair or not saying anything. These children that are born as a boy need to be told, you're a boy.
Yeah, and
God made a man, God made a woman. Keep in mind again that I said 80 to 90% of these children will reconcile to their natal gender.
Yeah.
That's no small. We can't sacrifice those children and go, okay, you want to be a girl? Then we're going to start dressing you like a girl right now. You want to be a girl? We'll start giving you puberty suppressing hormones. That's malpractice.
Yeah, and folks, we're going to open our phone lines. We'll take your questions, your comments. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. I mean, if your son or daughter said, I really believe I'm a cat, don't you think you would say, yeah, we need to go get some counseling on this, or no, you're really not a cat, you are a boy, you are a girl, and yet for some reason we can do that, but it's not politically correct to go the other way. Anyway, our lines are all packed already. Let me just ask you this, Karen. You've written several articles on this. How is it our listeners today can read the articles and the research you've done on this topic?
I write for Wisconsin Christian News, and you can go to their website and see the stories. It was actually one article that I wrote, and it was so long that I ended up breaking it into three parts. So it's intended to be one long commentary. So anyway, that's how they can find it and read about it. But again, there's I reference different studies and doctors, and you need to go back and look at them too. Maybe I could just say real quick, American College of Pediatrics has got a statement out. This was out in back in September of 2017, and the title of one is Gender Ideology Harms Children.
Yeah.
They wrote another one of Gender Dysphoria in Children. And so not every professional organization has bought into this.
And folks, you can check out their site at acpeds.org. And Dr. Michelle Critella has been with us on Crosstalk. You'll find articles there on her site. And to see the articles here from our guest, Karen Mueller, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Anything in particular that they would click on to find them? Okay. But WisconsinChristianNews.com, and folks, you can search for the articles there. Our lines are literally packed. We're going to Don in Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, according to God's Word, I'm in Mark chapter 4, verse 12, when God speaks about conversion or conversion therapy, speaking about being converted to Christ and thereby receiving forgiveness of sins, and that's all of us, all of our biggest problem is getting our Adamic sin nature under control by God through the forgiveness that's offered from the blood of Jesus and His marvelous resurrection and ascension back to glory.
Amen. Thank you, Don, for that. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Karen Mueller, and back in just 1 minute.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In our series on brainwashing, we have learned that in order for a nation to be brainwashed, you must remove the leaders that will go against the brainwashing or the thought control, the worldview, the values of those seeking to carry out the information operation. Number two is they must create moral confusion. In order to have people accept the ideas and values of those conducting the information operation, you must break down the morality of the culture. In fact, this is what Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School said when they came to America, that they would attack the existing morality of the culture, create moral confusion. Once you've created moral confusion, you have removed absolute truth. Because at the end of the day, brainwashing is really ultimately about changing a person's attitudes, values, and beliefs. Benjamin Bloom, the father of outcome-based education, said that's what school curriculum was really all about. Brainwashing, changing their attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs by creating moral confusion.
Okay, friends, if you go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, you're going to see the scrolling banner at the top of their page. They have all different kinds of stories and issues. And you just watch that scrolling banner right now, because it's going to get to the various stories on this topic. It's coming up about number 19, 18, 19, 20, right around there in the scrolling banner, Conversion Therapy Bans by State. You'll find all the articles there by our guest today, Karen Mueller, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Yeah, your guest made a good point that this stuff has been ginned up, this dysphoria confusion, and it's been ginned up in the public schools, the government indoctrination centers. These kids have been indoctrinated to get confused about their gender. She also mentioned how when left to their own devices, these kids, 90% of them gravitate toward the actual physical gender. So if we encourage everybody for a boy to be a boy and a girl to be a girl, that'll take care of the other 10%, and we won't have a problem. But then the perverts can't get the government to force their solution on everyone with their unnecessary surgery and hormones. This is nothing more than sacrificing kids on the altar of somebody else's stupidity. And the only education we need is to make sure everybody knows what's going on.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Colleen is calling from Venice, Florida. Colleen, you're on the air.
Hi. I live in, as you said, Venice, Florida, which neighbors Sarasota, Florida. In Sarasota, we have a beautiful art museum, an old, old classic place with paintings from all over the world. Recently in the paper, there was a story about how popular and well-received the drag queen tours had become. And it went on to describe how they were taking school children and adults on these tours through the museum that featured these beautiful classic paintings with drag queens.
Yeah.
And the drag queens were just so well received, and the kids were loving it, and the people were just ecstatic about this new thing that they were offering. And I was appalled that this is the way that they are portraying art to young children.
Yeah.
I was really disgusted with it.
Thank you for sharing that. Karen, I mean, this is what you've kind of talked about. You used the word earlier, indoctrination. Would you put this into that category?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And the indoctrination is going on not only in the lower grades, but it is also going on in the college campuses. I recently came across a very sad story talking about the number of young women that once they get to college are wanting to change their gender and start taking testosterone. In one particularly sad case, she found what I would term as a predatory doctor who was willing to do a double mastectomy on a perfectly healthy young woman who was deceived and indoctrinated into thinking that she could change her gender. Now, if that is what she wants to do, that whole process should slow down considerably, because as these young people get on these medications and hormones, I think there are significant changes to the thinking. And in some cases, these young people are depressed. So I am not saying they should be bullied. I don't think anybody should be made fun of. I think they should be supported and cared for and loved. But to give them powerful hormones is not the thing that should be the first treatment out of the bag of tricks, and certainly shouldn't be quickly followed up by surgery at such a young age.
Colleen, thank you for the call. Yeah. We're going next to Lima, calling from Phoenix, Arizona. And Lima, you're on the air.
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
So this is actually one of my first times tuning into this radio station. And it is an interesting topic, but I think it's someone mentioned talking about like sexual ed and like the whole like, what is it? Not gender therapy.
Conversion therapy? Reparative therapy?
Conversion therapy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't support conversion therapy, because I think there are better ways to educate and approach these situations than trying to say that something can be done through therapy or medicine. I think sex ed is important because if there is confusion mm-hmm. about the body or about what's going on in these functions or what someone might be feeling, the best way to like make those decisions or figure out what's going on is to educate oneself. And I think like the whole like sex ed thing goes far beyond just like understanding what gender is as a spectrum, because it's what it really is.
Thank you for the call, and I'm glad you found the program here and your response to it. We've got just a minute and a half left. Karen, go ahead and respond to him in this regard, because if we had somebody who was confused saying, you know, I really believe I'm an animal, I'm the animal gender, I want to, would we not take that person in for counsel or discussion on it, and certainly understand that no, you are a boy or a girl?
Well, what's happened with these bans on conversion therapy is it's silencing one side. If there is even-handed counseling, which is more likely to happen, I believe, from a conservative Christian perspective than from perhaps a school counselor that is forbidden from bringing up the concept that there is only biologically a male and a female. These teachers in these schools where the changes have been now made, they are forbidden from being able to bring up anything else. For example, back to the town where I am nearby, in addition to adopting the conversion therapy ban by the city council, the school enacted a new policy which said they would no longer work with anybody that uses conversion therapy. So they will not have any counselors that basically present the other side. Therefore, if a child comes in, say they're 10 years old, maybe a young boy that says to a teacher, I feel like a girl, or I feel like I'm in the wrong body, the only type of counseling they are going to get is affirmation therapy that puts them right into the fast track for the puberty-suppressing drug.
And we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Our guest today has been Karen Mueller. Thank you for calling into the program here today. And folks, check out the stories, WisconsinChristianNews.com, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Look at the scrolling banner. Thank you, Karen.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.